not just a long time ago, but also in our hearts. And Father, today we ask that you do what only you can, and that's to speak. Father, I don't have anything to say today, but I know you do, and so I pray that you'll still our hearts and minds and hush them away from everything else except your presence. That's our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen. This is going to take some of you back a ways, date you a little bit. I want you to think superheroes with me and tell me, what is the name of this superhero? His sidekick was named Scrappy. His archenemy was Oil Can Harry. His damsel in distress, Pearl Pureheart. He was one of the few superheroes to be nominated for an Oscar. No kidding. He was the first cartoon character ever to appear on Saturday morning television. And his was the longest lasting Saturday morning cartoon series in history. What's his name? No, it's not Dudley Do-Right. Well, he washes with super soap, eats super soup, gnaws on super celery, and loves super cheese. That help? His lead-in song to his series said, "When there is a wrong to right, he will always join the fight. On the sea or on the land, he gets the situation well in hand. Mr. Trouble never hangs around when he hears this mighty sound." Here he comes to save the day. That's it. That means that Mighty Mouse is on his way. Mighty Mouse, created in 1942 by a man named Izzy Klein. The premise behind the cartoon was simple. A tiny mouse, not even 5 inches tall, with amazing strength and the ability to do just about anything he wanted. It begged the question, how could something so small be so mighty? You say, that's easy, it's fiction. Well, right, you realist. So what about this one? What about the true story of a real baby in that framework who was also born with amazing strength and the ability, powerful enough, to do anything? It's true. And we read about it in this Bible book we're looking through called Isaiah. So turn with me this morning to Isaiah chapter 9 as we continue our holiday series titled, There's Just Something About That Name. The passage that we're looking at today also begs the question, how could something so small be so mighty? Somebody by that name. We said that there's billions of names in the world, and yet the Bible tells us there's one name that's above all the other names. But before we knew him by that one name, this person was actually given four descriptive names. And each name revealed something unique about his character. And each week we've been walking through those names to try to find out what we can learn from them and from him. Last time we talked about the first descriptive name, this idea of this baby being a wonderful counselor and what that meant in our lives. The second name we find also in Isaiah 9:6. Here's what the scripture said. Read it with me. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name will be called Mighty God." Why Mighty God? Well, there's all sorts of adjectives we could ascribe to him, but the scripture reveals why he was given this name and answers that question for us. What's so mighty about our God? What's so mighty about our God? Of all the things we could say about him, Isaiah managed to summarize his character up in these two words, Mighty God. Why? Well, first of all, because his way is mighty. His way is mighty. The little Hebrew word for mighty here translates mighty. Thought you'd like that. I wanted you to know I'm studying hard for you during the week. But not just somebody who's strong. The word translates one without equal. Somebody who's mighty, one without equal. I remember when I was in junior high, we had a classmate on campus who was without equal. He was a grown man trapped in a middle schooler's body. You know what I mean? Great big old ugly dude. Didn't look like he fit our grade. What in the world? How in the world did he end up with it? He wasn't held back. He's just huge. And you know what? He had his way, whatever he wanted to do. Got in line first. Got to the water fountain first. Got to pick out his desk first. Whatever he wanted, this dude had his way. That's just how he was. I can't help but think that's very much like what Isaiah had in mind when he used this word mighty. No, not some big bully, but rather somebody without equal. Someone who would get his way whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted, whatever he wanted to do. Now that sounded good to God's people when Isaiah told them that. They had problems galore. We've talked about them. Disobedient rulers, opposing nations, a weak economy, a shaky future. Man, that almost sounds like us. And the idea of having somebody without equal, oh yeah, they like that. But a child? For unto us a child is born? Now that didn't sound good to them. Isaiah, we're paying you to come up with what God wants to tell us, and that's the best you can come up with? A child? What good's a child going to do? We need help now. We don't have time to wait for a child to grow up. Unfortunately, people back then, just like people today, didn't realize who or what this child was, what he was capable of. See, this baby wasn't going to be born and then grow up and become the most powerful person in the universe. He already was. As soon as he was born, he was the most powerful person ever to be on the face of the planet. But they didn't know that. How about you? In your life and in your experience with him, do you understand who Jesus is and what he's capable of doing in your life and in the lives of those around you? Friends, it doesn't take much effort or strength for the Lord to accomplish his purpose. I have to remind myself of that often. I mean, if the Lord can speak creation into being, if he can cause a miraculous birth like he did with Mary without a man, then I'd say he can have his way in my life. How about you? If he can do all that, then what in the world can he do in little old me? Plenty. So for us to call him mighty means not only can he have his way with us, but he can have his way with things that are against us. Okay, now that's where we get serious. How do we do that? How do we get that kind of power on our side? Well, Jesus told us, through prayer, through talking to that one who's mighty. Lord, I want you to be in my life at work. I want you to help me be an effective witness. Maybe that's your prayer. And then suddenly one day out of the blue, a coworker asks you where you go to church. Don't let it take you off guard. You asked for it. Or maybe you pray as a parent. Lord, I just want to be a better mom or dad. I just want to be a good parent. But the interruptions of life, they just keep happening. I never seem to have time to spend with my son or daughter. Maybe that's your prayer. And then suddenly one day, something shifts in your schedule, and all of a sudden you got several hours of free time that open up. Well, what are you going to do with that? You can just surf the internet and go shopping. You just asked the Lord, you told him your time constraints, and all of a sudden something happened and you had more time. Or maybe your prayer is, Lord, I need to be strong in this situation. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And then suddenly you realize that the situation's behind you, that you made it through it. Well, how'd that happen? Well, you asked. That's the kind of power that we have through this mighty one. Somebody has said it well. If God did not act in response to prayer, then Jesus' teaching about prayer would be meaningless and all commands to pray pointless. But they're not pointless. Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, and when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Do you know that if you just pray, God, help, that He responds? As if you're praying this long, flowing, eloquent prayer. God doesn't hear those any more than He hears a one-word prayer. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. See, friends, prayer in Jesus' name is the catalyst for letting God have His way in our lives. It's also the next thing that I think Isaiah points to that's so mighty about God. Not only is His way mighty, His name is mighty. You know, when I say the name Ronald Reagan, most of you know who I'm talking about. The actor, the governor, the Big Gipper, the former president. But did you know, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, there's approximately 65 other people in the United States named Ronald Reagan? I'm not talking about them. If I say the name John Wayne, man, if you don't know who I'm talking about, you need to go look at that. The Duke, the actor, the Western man. But did you know, again, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, there's approximately 188 other people in the United States named John Wayne? I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the John Wayne, Big Jake. If I say the name Michael Jordan, most of you know who I'm talking about. The former Chicago Bull, the NBA legend, Air Jordan, the Nike superstar. Did you know? Apparently there are 2,973 other people in the United States named Michael Jordan. That is not who I'm talking about. None of them. I'm talking about the Michael Jordan. So how are you supposed to know which one's which? By their attributes. By their ability. By what they've been able to do. So when Isaiah used this word, God, to describe the name of this baby, listen, it was a common Hebrew word, the word El. E-L. And did you know that every divine being back then was given this little generic name? The Assyrians, the Aramaeans, the Philistines, the Babylonians, pick your enemy of God's people. Their gods were called the El, E-L. So how are they supposed to know which one's which when Isaiah's talking to the children of Israel? What distinguished their God from all the other gods? His attributes. His power. The things he had accomplished. The things he did. In fact, friends, the Old Testament is very deliberate in defining the name of God according to his attributes. Take some of these, for instance. El Elyon, God Most High. El Roy, God who sees. El Shaddai, the God of strength. El Olam, the God of eternity. El Rakhum, God of mercy. El Deot, God of knowledge. El Mauzi, God my fortress. El Hakabod, God of glory. El Emet, God of truth. El Sali, God my rock. El Yesuati, God my savior. And of course, the one we think about this time of year, Emmanuel, the God who's with us, the with us God. All these different names of God, why? So that the people would know how different their God was from all the other gods out there. That he wasn't just another name. He was different. That he wasn't just an attribute. He had the power to make things happen. And this is the short list. There are a lot of other names of God in the Old Testament. Go look at them. What about you? What makes God different from all the other gods in your life? You say, what are you talking about? You know, all those little g gods that we allow to hang around. The God of money. The God of success. The God of materialism. The God of an addiction. The God of arrogance. The God of selfishness. Pick one. The God of worry. Boy, we give him a lot of room, don't we? The God of, there's no way I can accomplish that. The God of, I'm not going to change. All these gods we allow to have a say-so in our life, but all of a sudden, when we allow the God, the mighty God, to be in first place, when we let him drive, hey, you know, that's the reason there's only one steering wheel in a vehicle, because only one person can take it at a time. When we allow the mighty God to have the say-so in our lives, first place, then all of a sudden all these other little gods, well, they don't get to say as much. How's that possible? Well, it's possible because our God doesn't just have attributes. He also has the power to make things happen. So when you declare him to be your rock, you pick one of his attributes out of Scripture and you say, God, I need you to be my rock in this situation because I don't know how I'm going to make it. He is. God, I need you to be my deliverer. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this one. Lord, I made a mistake. He is. God, be a shield around me, around my family. He will be. You pick the attribute according to Scripture, and you declare that over your life, and God will be that. He's not just a name. He has the power to make things happen. And you know what? We don't have to wait on him. He's waiting for us. Some of you probably need to try that. That area of struggle in your life, pick an attribute of God that can cover it and ask him to be that. Don't just pray a big general prayer. Oh, God, help me out of this, or help me do this, or give me what. Pick a specific attribute that the Bible lists about him and say, God, I need you to be this for me. That's why the children of Israel had hope. That's why Isaiah pointed out what they did, that the oppression they were living in wouldn't last. Mighty God would overcome it. Because he wasn't just a name, he was an answer. I read a story last week from the Birmingham News. No kidding, listen to this. The headline that got my attention read, Alabama woman named Jesus Christ was dropped from jury pool. Got your attention? Alabama woman named Jesus Christ dropped from jury pool. No kidding, I didn't make this up. Here's what it says. Associated Press released this report out of Birmingham, Alabama. Court officials said a Birmingham woman who changed her name to Jesus Christ didn't live up to it. You know what I'm saying? Apparently, she reported for jury duty this week, and the woman, previously named Dorothy Lola Killingsworth, was sent to Judge Clyde Jones' courtroom for a criminal case on Monday. Court officials told the Birmingham News Tuesday that the 59-year-old was excused from duty, however, because she was disruptive and kept asking questions instead of answering them. Efforts to reach Christ for comment afterwards were unsuccessful. And court administrator Sandra Turner said people there were shocked when the woman insisted that her name was Jesus Christ. And that some potential jurors laughed out loud when they heard her name get called. No kidding, I didn't make it up. Friends, here's a news flash for you. There's only one Jesus Christ, and he is not from Birmingham, Alabama. He didn't live there. He lives here in my heart and your heart, wherever his people are. And you know what? He's not asking us to change our names to his. He's asking us to live like his name. You can still be you and be like Christ. That's why he made us the way he did. Are you doing that? In your circle, in your world, in your walk, are you being Jesus? That's what he asked. Are you letting him have his way in your life? Or has something else become bigger? Is he having his way over that problem? Over that person? Over that temptation? What about his name? Is his name being represented in the things that you do and say? Or have you let some other God have control? When people see you, they remember you. Oh, yeah, that's a guy who likes to work too much. Oh, yeah, that's a guy who'd rather spend weekends working with his family. Oh, yeah, she's the one who'd rather do this. Oh, yeah, she's the one who'd like that. But when people see you, is there something about the name of Jesus that they see in you? Listen, Jesus is big enough for whatever you did yesterday and for whatever you're facing tomorrow. He is. Otherwise, he wouldn't be who we claim him to be. He'd be just another name out there, but he's not, friends. He's not. And he wants to have his way in your life. In the lives of those you love, he can. You say, you don't know my relative. You don't know my friend. I don't need to know him because I know Jesus. He knows him. He can. If you let him. Now, I don't understand his timing. I don't understand why he's earlier than later sometimes, later than earlier. I don't understand any of that, but I do. And what he can do.
bow your head for a moment. Just close your eyes and let these things that God's Word is saying to you just resonate. Maybe that'd be your prayer today. As you're honest before the Lord, you say to Him, Father, I haven't allowed you to put your way in me. No, not regularly. I've let other things take control. And today I need you to help me get back on track. Maybe today your prayer would be a simple one. You recognize that the name of Jesus, but never the say so in your life, and you allow some other things to be able to call the shots. And today you honestly say before the Lord that I've never given you my heart, Lord. I've been coming to the church, and I know that you're not in charge. Today you can give Him control of your life. If you're ready for Him to be the one who makes those decisions and to lead you and begins to bless you, you pray this prayer in your heart before the Lord and say, Dear Jesus, I come to you just like I am. I ask you to forgive me. And I give you control of my heart and life. And ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. Help me live the kind of life that you want. In Jesus' name.